Welcome, everybody, to Math of the Match Podcast, Episode 2. I am Tim, and as always, I am joined by...
Lawrence.
And Lawrence, you know, people really enjoyed our first episode. They were having a good old time.
Is that so?
That's what the numbers indicate, anyways.
Well, we are a podcast about numbers, so I suppose it's good to let the numbers indicate.
Yes, the data crunching. So, if you're unfamiliar with this podcast, which is quite possible, what we do here is we have a 100-point grading system, and we grade all the wrestling stuff that has happened this past week, starting with Raw, ending with Collision. We go to AEW, WWE, TNA Impact, and sometimes we squeeze in other stuff, but that's our main 7 shows that we go over. And we do all our numbers, we tell you what was worth going back to, what you should check out, what you can skip. Basically, this whole podcast formed not to say that people don't know how to grade things, but sometimes shows would get really bad numbers and still somehow end up being like an A-, and we don't like that, so we're here to give you hard data.
I actually read an article that had the opposite this week, where all of the matches were graded well, but the show got a lower grade than any of the matches got. And I was like, who's counting this? What happened?
That's so bizarre.
Doesn't compute. Math is easy. You know, for averages, you just total that stuff up and divide by the total, and that's the number you get. You shouldn't be able to end up with lower than the total of the, the parts that you're putting together there. Shouldn't shake out that way. It's not how math works.
No, it's that kayfabe math. We don't do that here.
Kayfabe math.
Yeah, it's some carny math. We don't do that.
Getting worked.
Not at all. We're getting worked by the system.
Not here. Lawrence, not here. You don't. I'll shoot math here.
Shoot math. That's definitely going to be a t-shirt at some point. But Lawrence, you always start us off with the first half of the week, and I take the back half. So would you like to start us off with Raw?
I would love to start us off with Raw. This is the February 26th episode of Monday Night Raw. We open the show with Dominic Mysterio coming out and bringing Rhea Ripley out to the ring, where she is addressed by her upcoming WrestleMania opponent, Becky Lynch. So this was a decent promo. I gave it an 84. The end of this segment, Nia comes out and attacks Becky as Rhea's leaving the ring, setting up a nice intermediate feud for Becky so that they can keep her and Rhea apart as long as possible on the way to Mania. So, good stuff. We move on to the first match of the night, which was Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I liked this match a lot. I gave it a 90. Sami went over in this match.
Nice.
I did like this. I didn't like that this was two guys who really can't afford a loss, and that in order for somebody to go over clean, somebody had to lose momentum when they needed to be gaining it. But that didn't change the fact that it was quality in-ring work and a good match. This was their second encounter in the last few weeks, I think, and Sami got his win back, so that does curb the loss of momentum for Shinsuke, I think.
Right. Yeah, Shinsuke's kind of in a rut now, but Sammy's looking good.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a rubber match here that has a stipulation that helps protect both of them. So,
wouldn't be a bad move.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and if you put like a no DQ stipulation or something on it, you can really get that underdog vibe for Sammy, which is where he thrives. So, next match of the night was Chelsea Green versus Raquel Rodriguez, which if you pay attention at all, then you know that Raquel Rodriguez won this match. This was a fine match. I gave it a 78. Chelsea got to cut a promo beforehand, which, despite losing here, I think bodes well for her as a priority in the women's division. She's very clearly a priority. And I think between the two characters at this point, she is the more interesting and entertaining character.
Her promo was very good.
Next, Gunther came out and was looking for his Mania opponent. This segment, I ended up giving this an 84.
Mm-hmm.
He was confronted by Judgment Day primarily, and it seemed like Dominic was the one that was going to step up, though there wasn't a definitive statement of who was laying claim to the title, just that Judgment Day intended to take his belt. And then after this, after we came back from commercial, I believe, there was a backstage where Rhea was questioning why Dom would challenge Gunther. And then when she walked off, Dominic bumped into Andrade as he was heading over to smooth things over with Mommy. So, and then a little bit later in the show, just kind of tacked into this hunt for the next Intercontinental Championship number one contender, we got to see Chad Gable making his case in Adam Pearce's office for why he should get another chance at Gunther. Good stuff.
I assume this is leading to a multi-man match at Mania.
I would be okay with that. Especially, like, if the intent is to pull the belt off Gunther without devaluing him, having a multi-man match where somebody else can eat that pin and he doesn't actually have to go down clean to somebody is smart.
Yeah.
It could also be a way to make him look dominant if the plan is to not take the belt off of him. You could just have him crush more than one dude, and that would also work. So, good stuff there. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think if they're going to keep, if they keep the belt on Roman, that Gunther makes sense to become a challenger to Roman. I think that's something they should do.
Yeah, that's fair. After that, we followed with Imperium versus the New Day in a street fight. This match was as good as you would expect it to be. I gave it a 92. I am really hopeful that this is not the last time that we see these two teams wrestle. In fact, I'm fingers crossed hoping for what we know to be one of Triple H's favorite ways to finish a feud, which is a Hell in a Cell. I'm hoping for a Hell in a Cell match at Mania.
That would be so good.
So, it would fit this feud very well for the way that it's escalated. Imperium went over here. I don't know that I said that. Good stuff. Good stuff all around.
I was a little surprised Imperium went over.
Yeah, yes and no. I like that they went over. I think that the way that this feud has played out, Imperium keeps like getting one over and saying like, okay, it's done. We're done with these guys. And New Day's like, it's not done till we say it's done. So I think that this is a good way to keep it rolling for another match. So, and they, sure. The way that they did it, while they did get their, I mean, it's a street fight, so it's all clean, even if it's, you know, a little dirty. They got their clean, you know, in terms of the match, but it looked like up till the last moment, like New Day had it, and they just like barely managed to pull it out on them. So
yeah, New Day looked very good here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Woods had the spot of the match, I think, doing his elbow drop off the top rope through that table at ringside.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
We followed that with Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler versus Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. This was not so good. I gave it a 66. It was it was fine. It was pretty short. It seemed like it maybe got cut for time, which definitely didn't lend itself to the quality overall. The work that happened was good. Like, the actual ring work was good. It just didn't feel like it had nearly enough time. It was a very short, I want to say, I didn't clock it, but it felt like it was under 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's not good.
Especially for a tag match. You've got four people who should get some shine, and it really amounted to, like, very little more than a squash.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see people get their matches cut completely, but sometimes that's better than just making everybody kind of look foolish.
Yeah, than not having enough time to work an actual match. It is what it is, but it was probably the low end of this particular show. That was followed by a Drew McIntyre promo after his win at Elimination Chamber. This promo was very good. I gave it an 89. He poked some more fun at CM Punk. I would not be shocked at this point if the plan is to have him go over Seth to give Seth a little bit of time off and have Drew be holding the title whenever Punk comes back from his injury.
It makes sense. It's definitely a good move.
Yeah. Yep. Rollins came out here during this segment, and his portion of the segment was also very strong. Yeah, they both came away from this with their program looking like a real program, which is good because it is very obviously the fallback plan because Punk got injured.
For sure.
This was followed by Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan, which Nia Jax, quote-unquote, won this match. There was a DQ finish where Nia got attacked by Becky, and being the person that got hit, she gets the DQ win.
Right.
I really liked this match. I thought they both worked very well. I liked the way that it finished. I felt like they made Liv look strong, despite getting kind of tossed around by Nia. She played the underdog to Nia's power game very well and looked like she stood a chance. I gave this match an 89. Nice. After the DQ finish, there was a commercial break, and when they came back from commercial, there was a short backstage segment tied to this with Becky asking Adam Pearce for a match against Nia next week and Liv getting in her face and expressing frustration about her making things all about her. I think it's a good three-way story here. I think that it's money.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I remember when they went to commercial break, I'm like, if she doesn't get in her face when they come back, it's a missed opportunity. And she did, and it was perfect.
Yep, they paid it off very well. Everything worked for me here. Loved it. We ended with the main event of the night, which was Cody Rhodes versus Grayson Waller. To the surprise of absolutely no one, Cody Rhodes got the win here. It is cool to see Waller getting this level of trust this early on in his career. Like, he's not been doing this that long. And to not just get a main event spot, but to get a main event spot with the guy this close to Mania, like, they clearly trust him.
Right.
He got some offense in on this before his clean loss to Cody. And it was followed with Paul Heyman appearance, where Paul Heyman told Cody to keep The Rock's name out his friggin' mouth, as he made reference to the infamous Will Smith slap as a comparison to The Rock slapping Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And Cody made it very clear that the Bloodline is not hunting him, he's hunting the Bloodline. I gave this, overall, the match and the segment afterwards, I gave an 85. I thought it was well done, especially considering, like I said, there was really no doubt about who was winning this match. So, for what it was, I thought it was well positioned. And so for Raw, I gave it an overall score of 84.
Nice.
Moving on to NXT, the February 27th episode of NXT. We opened the show with Ilya Dragunov. He came out calling out Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes came out hiding behind a whole bunch of security and saying he was not getting anywhere near that ring with Dragunov unless there was a contract involved for a title match. Good stuff. Strong heel work. Short and effective. 91. That was followed with our first match of the night between Kalani Jordan and Kiana James. I really liked this match. I graded it high. I gave it a 90. They both were laying their shit in. They were hitting hard, they were looking crisp, there were only a couple of spots where it looked like maybe some timing was off, and it was pretty minor, all things considered. I enjoyed this. Kiana James got the win after some interference from Izzy Dame in the late portion of the match. Honestly, I felt like if they had had a little bit more time, that the two of them together probably could put on a match of the year contender. So, I thought it was good.
That's awesome. That's really cool to hear. I'm excited to see more of them, man.
After this was Good Brothers versus Idris Enofe and Malik Blade. Good Brothers got the win here. Gave this match an 83. It was pretty obvious that the Good Brothers were going to win, considering they just came back to NXT last week. It is unfortunate that Blade and Enofe can't buy a win in the tag division, because they are very good. They just seem like they're on the low end of the priority for the tag division right now. And then after this match, pretty much the rest of the tag division came out to attack Gallows and Anderson while the Wolf Dogs looked on with a look of satisfaction at the field. Decent stuff there. We followed that with Roxanne Perez versus Jakara Jackson, with Roxanne getting the win. I gave this match an 85. I thought that this match was strong.
Okay.
There were a couple of spots that there were some near misses in the work, but I felt like Jackson was impressive here with her heel psychology and her facial expressions. She was really selling her into this match, and I thought they did a good job considering that Roxanne is teasing a heel turn and Jackson is firmly a heel. They worked this dynamic well.
Mm-hmm.
Followed that match with Dijak versus Luca Crucifino, which was another good match, nice. I felt. I gave them an 83. Crucifino is, if you don't recall, is in a lawyer gimmick. And he wrestled this match in skinny suit pants and ring boots that were made to look like dress shoes, which is a nice touch for that lawyer gimmick.
Oh, that's
fun. He got a pretty hot start to this match before Dijak took over, and the crowd seemed behind his burst of energy early in the match. Afterwards, Joe Gacy showed up, escaping the straitjacket in a callback to the video package from last week, and Crucifino used the crowbar to get Dijak out of the ring and into Gacy's waiting arms. And then backstage, Tony D'Angelo told Stax to retrieve Crucifino, and I suspect we're probably setting up for him to join the family, which could be good.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that could be real good.
After this was a promo segment with Lyra Valkyria addressing her satisfaction with Tatum Paxley staying in the back last week during her title match, and she told Tatum Paxley there would be a reward, and the reward is that the two of them are going to team together to challenge the Kabuki Warriors next week for the women's tag titles. So, good stuff here as we kind of tease the will-they-won't-they-be friends between Paxley and Valkyria. I gave this segment a 90.
Nice.
After this was my favorite segment of the night, where Ridge Holland came out and blabbed some nonsense about why he was using the chair so aggressively on Gallus, and he got jumped with a chair by the returning to NXT Sean Spears.
Yeah.
And I had to give this a perfect 100. 10 times 10. 10 all the way. 100 points.
Nice.
Great segment.
I love it.
all joking aside, I do feel that it earned that. It paid off some video packages that they've been doing for the last few weeks. It felt like a genuine surprise. I hadn't seen anybody talking about him coming back.
Right.
They didn't hint at the 10 gimmick, so there was no real, like, it was like, oh, what are these video packages? And then it's Spears, and it gives Holland something to do moving forward. So I felt like it was a good segment with a good payoff that sets up nicely for what comes next.
Yeah, I did see the clip of this. It was very good.
Yeah. After this, Brooks Jensen backstage was confronting Obafemi. And that match, depending on whether or not it's a squash, is an exciting prospect, I think. If Brooks Jensen actually gets to give Obafemi a challenge, I'm excited to see what he can do, even though I wouldn't expect him to win. We followed this by a match between Lexus King and Von Wagner. I didn't like this. I hate that I have to keep saying that about Lexus King matches.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, I want to. I swear I go into these ready to like it, and it just keeps kind of falling flat for me. Von Wagner got the win here on a roll-up, which led to Lexus attacking him further after the match. I ended up giving this a 67. There was a good chain of spots here kind of early on in the match where King was working Von Wagner's leg, and he held on while transitioning between a few moves. It was some good wrestling. And it does still feel to me like if he can find whatever that spark is that seems to be missing from these matches, like he should be well positioned in NXT to do something big. Right now, it just seems like it's been flat, and I think, like, the crowd has a hard time getting behind it because it's been flat.
Right.
And it just doesn't have any life in it right now, so.
Yeah.
This was followed by a match between Gigi Dolin and Jada Parker. I gave this a 67 as well.
Uh-oh.
Didn't really like this either. Neither of these women has a lot going for them. The crowd doesn't really seem super behind either of them. And this ended with Ariana Grace coming out and trying to convince two people in a wrestling match not to fight because they should all be friends in the women's division, which is funny, but it ended up making Gigi look kind of like a chump because she got distracted by it and lost as a byproduct of the distraction.
Gotcha.
Jada Parker ended up getting the win here.
Well, maybe that'll lead to something better, but yeah, that is a wonky start.
This was followed by a Heritage Cup match between Noam Dar and Charlie Dempsey. We didn't know until the match started that it would be Charlie Dempsey, because as part of the No Quarter Catch crew, they invoked the catch clause, which is that they all show up in their gear and don't tell their opponent who they're going to wrestle until they're in the ring ready to wrestle. This match was very good. I gave it an 88, probably one of the better Heritage Cup matches that we've seen in a while. Because Jakara Jackson had had a match earlier in the night, Metaphor was only Noam Dar and, what's his name? Ora Mensah. They were the only two members present for this match. And Charlie Dempsey ended up winning the Heritage Cup.
Wow.
They kind of worked the Metaphor game against Metaphor by having the other three members of the No Quarter Catch crew get involved and cause a distraction that opened the door for Dempsey to get the second of his two falls in the two out of three falls to win this match.
Nice. So,
It was well done. Thought it was a good bit of storytelling with Metaphor not being able to defend Noam Dar, not in full force. So, good stuff.
Man, I really like Noam Dar and this whole gimmick. It's very good. I'm curious if it'll do well
on the main roster. I'm curious if it'll do well without him having the Heritage Cup to gloat over everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they put another title on him that he can kind of do the same thing with, that you can just kind of keep the ball rolling.
Right. That's what I would hope for.
If you're ready to bump him to the main roster, like, you just put a U.S. title on him and call it a day.
Right.
And then we close this show with the payoff to the opener of the show, with Carmelo finally coming face-to-face with Dragunov. This was under the guise that they were going to sign a contract for a title match, but before Carmelo could sign, Tony D'Angelo showed up and made his case for why he should have a chance to fight for the number one contender spot, and the contract ended up being converted into a number one contenders match instead of a title match for Carmelo. Number one contenders match set for next week, I believe, between Tony D'Angelo and Carmelo Hayes to determine number one contender against Ilya Dragunov. Nice. And I suspect that we'll get a returning trick costing Melo and setting up the two of them for stand and deliver and leaving Dragunov to have D'Angelo for the title. That's my guess.
That's my hope.
I gave this segment a 92, and I gave the show overall an 85.
Okay, nice.
Moving on to Dynamite. This is the February 28th episode of Dynamite. Adam Page opened the show, feigning a leg injury. Swerve came out to hype him up a little bit, despite their feud. Joe came out to talk some trash, and Hangman attacked Swerve from behind. I gave the segment an 88. I'm glad that Hangman's not actually hurt. I'm looking forward to this being a triple threat.
It should be a great match.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably one of the two matches on the card that I'm most excited to see.
Mm-hmm.
This was followed by a match between Blackpool Combat Club and FTR and Eddie Kingston. This match was fine. I felt like it ran a little long, considering that We're going to see a tag match between Blackpool Combat Club and FTR on the pay-per-view. It felt like this maybe would have been better served as like a segment to hype the match instead of a match before the match.
Right.
I gave this an 80. Blackpool Combat Club got the win with Danielson choking out Eddie at the end of the match. It ran long. It ran through two commercial segments. The wrestling was good, as you would expect it to be. It just felt like, I don't know, it felt like it dragged on for me, personally.
Sounds fair.
We got a segment after this with Will Ospreay coming out to say that he is officially All Elite, which is to say that he's done with his other obligations. And they hyped up Ospreay versus Takeshita at Revolution, which reminds me that there is a third match on this card that I am excited for.
Yeah.
And they teased the idea that Ospreay will likely end up at odds with the Don Callis family instead of staying involved with them, which is probably smart because I think he's a little bit too over to be in a heel faction.
Yeah.
This was followed by Orange Cassidy versus Nick Wayne for the International Championship in an open challenge. I liked this match. I thought that Nick Wayne looked really good, despite the fact that there was absolutely zero chance of him winning the title after all of the build to Orange Cassidy's match at Revolution.
Right.
Which, to me, feels a little weird why we would be doing an open challenge like this close to the pay-per-view after doing all of this build. Mm-hmm. Personally, but I enjoyed the match. Cassidy retained. I gave this an 87.
Nice. Yeah, Nick Wayne needed a little bit of something. He's been getting beat up a little too much.
Yeah, I thought that he looked very, very strong here.
Nice.
After this was Sky Blue versus Chris Statlander. I liked this match a lot. I gave it a 90. Mm-hmm. Sky Blue went over Chris here. The end of this match saw Julia Hart capitalizing on Stokely accidentally distracting Chris and hitting Statlander with the title. It gave Blue the win that she needed while protecting Stat, and I don't know, everything about this felt smooth. Felt like their timing was on point. Just thought it was a good match all around.
That's good.
We followed that with a match that I didn't like so much between Chris Jericho and Atlantis Jr. I have the opposite thing to say about this, which is that their timing felt very clunky. They were moving kind of slow. I don't know if it was a chemistry thing or if it was Atlantis just like trying to be careful with Jericho, but it just didn't work for me. I gave it a 69.
Nice.
Chris Jericho got the win here. There were some callbacks to Chris Jericho's time in CMLL early on in his career. So the finish on this saw Jericho effectively tap out Atlantis Jr., where Atlantis, his father, tossed in the towel because, as the commentary team put over, he knew that his son would not tap out, so he was sparing him. Huh. So, which I felt that the finish on this was kind of telegraphed. Mm-hmm. When your corner man shows up to the ring with a towel,
right,
you almost assume he's gonna use it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then we finish this show off with the Young Bucks hunting Sting. I actually like this segment a lot. They came out hunting Sting, they got Darby Allin instead, and Ric Flair showed up and got involved. They put the hurt on Ric Flair as well, and then when Sting finally showed up, he descended from the rafters and it popped the hell out of the crowd. I gave it an 86, and I gave the show overall an 84.
Nice. That's pretty cool. I did read that they conferred with Owen Hart's wife about the stunt and got her blessing to do it.
And that's a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It's polite. It's nice. You know, Sting's an old man in that respect. So there's a lot of good checks and balances here. All right. Well, if you're done with Dynamite, that means it's my turn. And I always like to tell people that I tend to rank things lower. I'm just not a generous man at all, but the math will still shake out. So we head over to Impact, TNA Impact, the February 29th edition, and we start with a very good match, which is Mike Bailey taking on Steve Maclin. These two were hitting each other so incredibly hard So many chops and back and forth elbow strikes. This was a very hard-hitting match, and I did enjoy it quite a bit. It is part of the build to Steve Maclin taking on Nick Nemeth at Sacrifice, which he did show up after this match on the screen with his IWGP title, saying that that's why he wasn't there, and he will be back to deal with him at Sacrifice. Maclin got the win here with some shenanigans, but the KIA is such a good finisher. It's essentially the a double-arm DDT, like the impaler that Gangrel used to do. It's super good, and Mike Bailey sold the hell out of it. So I gave this match an 85.
Nice.
Yep. We follow that up with Jake Something taking on Laredo Kid. Jake Something's kind of trying to rack up a bunch of wins in the X division. He's making a claim that he wants to be towards the top of that division. And again, because it's about no limits and weight limits, he's got a pretty good case. There's an amazing spot in this match where Laredo Kid goes from the apron to Jake Something on the outside and goes for a Hurricanrana, and Jake Something literally just rolls with it and stands back up into a powerbomb position and gives him a seated powerbomb on the floor.
That's wild.
It's one smooth motion. It's insane. It is that alone is worth checking out this show. It's nuts. The match was pretty good. It wasn't as good as the Maclin match, but I gave it an 80 out of 100. I think it was pretty good. Now on to something I did not like, which is AJ Francis, which is the former Top Dollar, and Cody Deaner taking on Joe Hendry and Rich Swann. This match and this whole story is very bizarre. Joe Hendry basically just making fun of AJ Francis and how he can't go over the top rope. And very boring.
You're telling me Joe Hendry is stealing Michael Cole's gimmick?
Basically, yeah. I mean, Joe Hendry's a troll. That's kind of his gimmick, right? So it makes sense. AJ Francis just is not doing it for me, man. Not at all. I was willing to give him a chance. I thought a new set of paint might do him good. Cody Deaner's kind of not doing too much after the demise of the design. I feel like Alan Angels is doing good, you know, in the X division, and Khan is actually starting a feud with PCO, which is just a big meaty men match, and that's been looking like it's going to be very good going forward. But this match was very boring. Joe Hendry and Rich Swann won. I don't even remember how they did it. That's how good this match was. I gave it a 66. And
so you're saying who hotter than Top Dollar?
That's what I wish I was saying. yeah, he's not my favorite AJ, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's an unfair comparison to be making.
Yeah. There's so many good AJs. Anyways, now we move on to a promo segment, and this was super good. It is the TV debut of Mustafa Ali, and it is his inauguration because he's doing this kind of political gimmick, and it is really good. He comes out with the good hands who introduce him, and in Ali we trust, and the crowd was all over this. They loved it. Ali did debut at the pay-per-view, and he did defeat Chris Sabin in his first ever match in TNA. He defeated him for the X Division title. So it was also apparently the first time the X Division title was ever defended in the main event. I found that odd of a pay-per-view. But Mustafa Ali came out, and it was just so good. As much as he was doing classic heel shit, the crowd would not boo him. They loved him. Sabin came out, got in his face. This led to a brawl between the good hands, Ali, and Kushida, Sabin, and Kevin Knight. So I'm assuming we'll get that match very soon. Very good segment. I gave this a 90. I loved it. In Ali, we trust all day long.
I mean, I trust in Ali.
You sure should. And I think once this gimmick gets a little more eyes on it, I think it's going to be huge. So hopefully.
Now, if I remember correctly, he pitched this gimmick while he was in WWE, and they turned him down on it.
I believe that's true, and it seems like it's a shame. Maybe they just didn't want to be political. Maybe because I don't want to say it's like a right wing. Like, you know, you never want to bring politics and religion into stuff. It's always a little dicey. Just knowing that Vince is very much a Trump supporter and You know, I think they were probably like, sure, let's just not do it. And I could see that point of view. But I think it's great. I think it's an amazing, amazing storyline. Then we followed that up with Tasha Steelz taking on Xia Brookside. This match was pretty good. They both have split wins prior, and the winner is going to get a knockouts title shot at Sacrifice. This ended in a count-out draw. They were just beating the hell out of each other and just couldn't get back in the ring in time. I gave it a 67. The match was good. It just kind of, I don't know, the pacing and the timing was a little weird, maybe because of the finish. And my one note is that Xia Brookside yells way too damn much every time she does a move.
Sure.
There were times she would like hit a big clothesline on Tasha Steelz and she'd yell louder than Steelz, who is selling it well. So I'm like, you need to just shut up occasionally. but Jordynne Grace came. Yeah, yeah. So Jordynne Grace came out and just said, I'll just fight both of you. Easy peasy. It is time for the main event, and it is The System, which is Moose, Eddie Edwards, and Brian Myers, taking on Ace and Bay and Eric Young, who ended up defeating Frankie Kazarian and becoming the number one contender to Moose's world title. So I believe that's also a Sacrifice. This match was really good. I wish Impact had trios titles, because The System consistently puts on really good matches. And I just love the combination of them, where Eddie Edwards is a little bit of your speed, Myers is super technical, and Moose has the power, but they're all super good. Everybody looked pretty good here. We're trying to get EY over. I believe Sacrifice is in Canada, so that should be an interesting main event. And I gave this an 81. I thought this match was solid.
The way that you described The System is how I would describe The New Day, which is very interesting.
You know, that's very fair. It's a very fair comparison. And I think it's just surprising, because maybe we're used to Myers being on that losing streak.
He was a jobber?
Yeah, a total jobber, and he's just not anymore. And like Eddie Edwards has been the top of the card and the bottom of the card. And Moose is just great. Who doesn't like Moose?
That's fair. I like Moose.
I also like Moose. So yeah, that's it for Impact. The show ends up getting a 78.1% from me. And then we move to Rampage, the March 1st edition, which we start out with Rojito versus Claudio Castagnoli. And Rojito is awesome. I really liked him. He's one of the top CMLL guys that I've seen so far. I really do enjoy him. Taking on Claudio. Claudio just never looked ahead at any point in this match, and the commentary did a good job of putting everybody over. Like, Claudio just felt like he was playing defense the entire time, and he just kind of squeaked out a win at the end here. Pretty good match. I gave it an 82.
That's a wild dynamic for a Claudio match, considering he normally looks full dominant in everything he's in.
Yeah. I mean, he's a lot bigger. They definitely played up, like, doing techniques and speed to stay ahead of him. But not like in the way that like WWE does it a lot, where it's just the little guy's getting hammered just way too much. This was very smooth and very back and forth, and it was just kind of fun to watch. Next, we go on to a trios match. We got Lance Archer teaming with the Righteous of Dutch and Vincent to take on Luke Langley, Anoya, and Fought.
Who?
Fought. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's spelled weird, but his name is Fought, essentially.
Squash City.
Squash City, yeah. This was a fun squash match, but it was a crushing squash match. I assume this was probably originally booked to talk about the big meaty men match, which I don't understand why it turned into the scramble, because most of the meaty men that they talked about are still in the match. I'm assuming there's some big surprise that they just weren't able to pull together, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, but this was pretty good. I love every single time Dutch does the Boss Man Slam. He just channels the Boss Man perfectly. Love it. Love the Righteous. Love Lance Archer. Just want to see them destroy jobbers all day. I gave it a 75.
When are we officially putting Lance Archer in the Righteous?
I don't know, but they might as well. I mean, especially if he's going to do double duty between AEW and New Japan. Just make him an occasional member. Why not?
He's almost never in New Japan anyways.
Then I have no idea why they wouldn't just do it. I think it would be a great move.
He wrestles for New Japan in, like, tournament spots, from what I've seen, and that's about it.
I don't know. It would have been a good move. Then we move on to some women's action. We got Riho versus Trisha Dora. This was okay. The crowd was so into Riho the whole time. Like, it was almost distracting. They just love her so much. Trish did hit a huge backbreaker, but the match was just okay. You know, basic, simple match. I ended up giving it a 69, which is nice.
Nice.
Just an okay match. Nothing to write home about.
Who got the win here?
Riho did. And then...
Damn.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's all I got to say about that.
That's fair. And then we go to our main event, which is Magnus, which is not Nick Aldis. this is one of the luchadors from CMLL, taking on Matt Sydal. In winner getting a spot in the scramble match at Revolution, which Sydal, I mean, he kicked Magnus a billion different ways. It was pretty wild. And Magnus is the tag partner of Ruido, who we saw earlier with Claudio. And Magnus is easily the worst part of that tag team because I was bored to tears watching this match.
Damn.
Which is saying something because Sydal did everything right. But, you know, after seeing...
Sydal always does everything right.
Correct. But after seeing how good Ruido... I'm trying to pronounce this without screwing it up. R-U-G-I-D-O. Ruido. After seeing how good he was, I couldn't give two shits about Magnus. He was just a completely different style, and it just did not click for me. The match still was decent enough. I gave it a 68, but yeah, as excited as I was to see a luchador I'm less familiar with and to see Matt Sydal in a main event, it was kind of meh. Little meh.
That's unfortunate.
I agree. So Rampage ends up getting a 73.5%.
They gave Magnus the win on that match, is that correct?
They did, so you will be quite bored watching him in a pay-per-view slot at that scramble.
At least he's in a scramble, right?
Right. I mean, and maybe, hey, maybe it was a one-time...
He doesn't need to carry half the match, so...
Yeah, and maybe he'll prove me wrong. Maybe this was just a fluke thing. Maybe I'm an idiot, and I would love to be an idiot in this case, but we will see. Did you happen to catch SmackDown?
I did not catch any of the shows that you watched.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to the March 1st SmackDown, and it kicks off with a Roman Rock promo. This is one of the best promos I have ever seen. It is very good. So it starts with Roman coming out, asking for the crowd to acknowledge him in Glendale. The fact that I remember where it was because they said it so many damn times. And the crowd's into it, but there's some people booing him, some people starting Cody chants. So he goes, all right, I fulfilled my obligation. I'll just leave. And really good work between Paul Heyman and the rest of the Bloodline as it relates to Roman and The Rock. Paul Heyman's like, no, you can't leave. He still has to come out. He still has to come out. You can't go. And The Rock does come out, does all his promos, heel Hollywood Rock kind of style. They lay the challenge down for night one of WrestleMania for Cody and Seth to take them on in a tag match. And if they win, it'll be Bloodline rules for the Cody versus Roman main event the next night, where just anything goes, who gives a shit kind of thing. But if they win the tag match, then The Rock and everybody else will be banned from ringside for the main event match between Cody and Roman. So really good setup here. They did everything correct. Everything had a purpose. But when you think it's all over, and there's nothing left to do, they shock me because The Rock goes to do If You Smell, and Roman puts his hand on him and stops him. And the crowd loses their shit. And Paul Heyman sells this so good. And he goes, I just need one thing from you before you do that. He said, I'd do anything for family. I need you to acknowledge me. And the crowd loses it. The Rock looks him, takes the glasses off, looks him right in the eye, and says, Roman Reigns, I acknowledge you. And they throw the single finger up in the air, and the crowd was ecstatic.
Did The Rock hit us with a big ol' L again instead of a one?
He did, actually. He did it, and then he kind of stopped doing it. So I feel like he's trolling people at this point.
So he acknowledged the L.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw a lot of people were saying that he, like, didn't quite throw up the one, and I think he...
I saw a picture of them throwing up the ones, and he has the L out, mm-hmm. and Paul Heyman's staring at the L like he doesn't trust it.
And Paul Heyman is probably right, because he's always right. But this was one of the best promos. It put over so many matches. It answered a bunch of questions. It was really good. I gave this a 97. I gave this promo a 97. I don't grade anything high.
That's not true. You don't grade things not high. You just have a high bar for what qualifies as high.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I think a lot of pay-per-view matches should be in that 90 percentile, where TV matches less so. Now we move on to our first match of the night, and it is Naomi taking on Tiffany Stratton. This match was pretty good. Tiffany Stratton does end up cheating to get the win here. I want to point out that the referee sucked. The referee did a really bad job. Wasn't selling any of the distractions. Just kind of sucked all around. I just was being taken out of the believability of the match because the ref was...
That's not a comment that you get very often for a WWE ref.
Yeah, well, he was like... I don't know. There was a point where he kind of grabbed Naomi by her stomach area and was trying to push her away from Tiffany in the corner. And he just like basically held her in like that position for way too long. And I was like, Tiffany like practically hit her already. Like, what are you doing? Like, you need to get out of the way. It really didn't make a lot of sense for you to do that break apart as you did it. I don't know. Something about this ref, it was off. I didn't love it. Hmm. But, it's worth pointing out because, like you said, it normally doesn't happen. I am not
digging... Not with WWE.
Right, right. I'm not digging Naomi since she came back. She seems like she's on slow. When she was in Impact just before and as herself, as Trinity, she was very good. And I wonder if they gave her notes like, don't do these moves, or if she's trying to fit a specific character of Naomi, because it's just, she's on slow and it's just not clicking for me. I gave this match a 79, though. It was still very good. Then we go to Bayley and Dakota Kai taking on the Kabuki Warriors, and this match was really good. It was not much of a match. It ends up getting thrown out because everybody predicted it would happen. Dakota Kai turns on Bayley, and they beat the living hell out of her. Yeah, it's the right way, right? It was okay. It was fine, but the crowd was super into it. I think a lot of scores would have been lower on this, but the crowd was so into it. And they got over this match very well that it got some high marks in some of the categories you don't think about as much. You know, the logical kind of psychology here was very good.
Then this was a sold-out crowd, right?
I believe so, yeah, because The Rock.
I mean, smart on WWE to open the show with him then, because they were probably as hype as they were because of seeing The Rock that early on in the show.
100%.
And with it being a sold-out crowd, like, I would not think of Glendale as, like, a prime wrestling crowd, typically.
100%. And if you look at the rest of the card on paper, it doesn't look amazing. So, the crowd definitely helped. If you can get the crowd into it, it's great. So now we go to a match we did not need, which is Bron Breakker taking on Zion Quinn. And this is too much of a squash match. This was literally go into the ring, ring the bell, hit a spear, pin him, it's over. Didn't need it. Rather, they didn't do it. Rather, they pulled it or did a backstage promo with Braun. I know you want him on, but this isn't the way to do it. I hated it. I gave it a 45.
Ooh.
It would have been fine, like a typical couple-move squash match, and you get to see Braun do things versus just run in the ring, spear him, and he didn't even cover him right away, which I was extra pissed off about. He took a little too long to cover him, so I was like, what is
that? It's a potent spear. He just didn't need to cover him that fast.
I mean, you can make that argument, and I like Bron Breakker, but I think this did nobody any favors, and I'd rather they just scratch.
Best spear in the business?
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's a couple spears I like better than that. I really like Moose when Moose does it, because he does that flip around thing. That shit's great. But that being said, we're going to move on to what I think was the best match of the night, surprisingly, was Carlito taking on Santos Escobar in a street fight. This match was really good. It was back and forth. There was Carlito was looking for something under the ring, and there was a chant of "We want apples," which was pretty good. And
that's awesome.
He pulled out a table and he put it down, and then he pulled out an apple, and the crowd lost their minds.
That's so good.
It's actually really good, and he didn't get to use it, unfortunately. But there was a lot of different...
Also good.
Yeah, yeah. Santos took it away from him and kind of laughed and threw it away. It was good. But this was a really strong match. Really back and forth. Really violent. There was chair spots, table spots. Everybody looked good. Carlito looked like he was going to get the win when the rest of El Phantasm, whatever the hell they're called, came in. Angel Garza and... oh, boy. What's his name? Damn. I forgot his name.
Humberto?
Humberto Carrillo, yes. Jesus Christ. they came.
Disrespect.
I know. Well, with the power of editing, there's no disrespect. So.
I like that you're not going to edit that out, though.
You're right. I'm not. No, because the explanation is funny. You do know me so well. But yeah, that's why I write everything down, because you get a dumb moment. Look, last week I called Josh Alexander Jason Alexander, and I deserve to be roasted for that.
Those two people are very different.
You know, I want that team up, though. I like it.
The Alexanders?
Yes, the Alexanders. the match was great. They hit the ring, because it's no DQ in a street fight. You get the LWO running out. And evens it up. You get some cool spots. Everybody's still looking strong. Still, they get the edge. And then you get the Rey Mysterio music hitting. And he comes out on the crutches. And the crowd's way into it. And he does the typical "I'm not actually hurt" bullshit. Which kind of sucks after seeing it on Dynamite prior. But he beats the hell out of everybody. Carlito gets the win when he spine busters Escobar through a table that had already been set up in the middle of the ring prior. Match was super good. I gave it an 86. I think everything, nice. Like from a storytelling point of view, this is one of the best examples of storytelling I've seen in a long time. So I liked it a bunch.
Sure. I will say about the Rey Mysterio spot that while, yes, you did see a similar thing on Dynamite, the difference here is that, like, Rey Mysterio has legitimately been out on injury.
Right.
Whereas with Hangman, it was just like a spot of him showing that he like tweaked his knee or something last week in a match.
Right.
And not like any official like out on injury for a while. So it is a little different, even if it is a similar spot.
That's fair. Yeah, no, it was a good spot. And if it leads to some multi-man match at Mania or whatever they're going to do, I'm into it. And finally, we get our main event, which had Kevin Owens out on commentary, and it was for Randy Orton taking on Austin Theory. This got set up in a promo earlier in the night where they were making fun of Randy getting knocked out by Logan Paul, and he, of course, shows up behind them, and he goes, "I don't give a shit which one of you it is. I'm fighting one of you tonight. I'll see you in the ring." And Grayson Waller threw him to the wolves, threw Theory to the wolves, which is an interesting thing. I guess they're breaking them up. Or maybe they're just teasing it, but it was a good continuation of that from Elimination Chamber. And this match was really good, and I ended up giving it an 83. I think there was a lot of really good spots in here. There was one screw-up that I worked out okay. It was actually very impressive, where Theory was going to go for a blockbuster, and Randy kind of caught him and did a superplex kind of move. It was weird. It was interesting. It was definitely a botch, but they worked through it. And Randy just kind of looked at the camera, like shrugging, like, whatever. But it was definitely one of those moves where it's like, did Randy get the superplex or did he get the blockbuster? It was harder to tell, but, you know, from the selling, Randy got it. But it was just like a weird little spot. This did end with Theory. The finish is good. Theory tried to do Grayson Waller's roll into the ring. And when he popped up, Randy caught him with the RKO. It looked very good.
Beautiful.
And then they started double-teaming him. KO came into the ring. And KO hits Austin Theory with a stunner. And then Waller is able to get away, turns right into another RKO. It was a pretty good spot. Everybody went home happy. I gave it a 78. The whole show gets a 78.3. And now we're ending it with Collision, the March 2nd edition of Collision. This started with a brawl. It was supposed to be a match. Buddy Matthews was supposed to have a match, and Mark Briscoe came out, and it started a brawl, and this was a very interesting brawl. Mark is very overwhelmed by the House of Black, and he was able, with the help of the Spike, with the help of certain underhanded tactics, I guess, he was able to hold his own for a good amount of time. He kept them all separated, and it made sense, but I didn't like the House of Black getting beat up by one crazy redneck guy for too long.
Sure.
It did end with an interesting spot where Buddy Matthews was up by the entrance ramp, and he had his head near where the pyro was, and Mark Briscoe had the button to the pyro, and he was going to burn his face off, and the security surrounded him, and it was literally, you know, 20 people stopping him from pushing a button, which he eventually pushed, but Buddy had moved. But, like, what a risky kind of, I don't know, maneuver. There's no room for error there. Continued what's going on with Briscoe and the House of Black. It was good. I gave it a 79. I really just wanted the match, though. I love Buddy Matthews. Then we move on to a three-way match. This is to get the last spot in the scramble. And we have Pentagon and Brian Keith and Dante Martin. Man, the one I thought was going to win sure didn't. it was a good finish, though. Really good back and forth. Everybody looked strong. This was a decent match. I gave it an 82. Dante Martin is your winner here, though. Capitalizing on Penta and Brian Keith kind of hitting each other with some big moves. Getting Penta out of the way so he could hit his finisher off the top rope. It was good. I enjoyed it. Would have wanted Brian Keith in there, personally, but that's just me.
Is that who you were expecting to win?
I was kind of expecting Penta, but I wanted Brian Keith. I was never thinking Dante Martin.
Yeah, I didn't watch this, but I did read about it, and my thoughts are similar that I was expecting. I was actually expecting Brian Keith, wanted Penta, and was surprised that it was Dante.
Right. I mean, as a match, as far as the structure, it made perfect sense. I wasn't offended by it. I wasn't mad about it. I just was surprised, like you said. Then we move on to Mariah May, who is so great, taking on Angelica. Angelica Risk. What a great name. Very, like, just the best cocky heel work from Mariah May. Really heavy strikes here. I loved it. There's a great spot where she went up on the ropes and blew a kiss to Nigel McGuinness, who fell on the floor so excited that that had happened.
Yes.
But this was basically a squash match, and I appreciated how this one was done, and everybody looked better for it. I gave this a 78. It was a good match. It accomplished everything it needed to. And also, it ended with Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo having a face-to-face, which is also good, setting up, you know, talking more about their match at the pay-per-view. I love when they're face-to-face and half of the screen is in black and white. It's amazing. It's a nice little touch with the film grain and everything. I love it. Then we get the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. We get the Acclaimed and Austin Gunn taking on Alex Reynolds, Evil Uno, and John Silver. This match is very good, as you would expect it to be. Could be better, but it's fine. I just really like Dark Order, and they get no respect, man. Also, I believe Colton Gunn is the better gun. Let's just be real, okay? So, I'm saying...
Strong opinion.
I'm saying it again. No, I don't think so. this was okay.
It's rude.
It is, but it's right. this was just kind of okay. I gave it a 78, which is interesting. It's the same score I gave Mariah May, but Mariah May got it through a lot of work. This got done just because of some smooth moves and just, I don't know. It was okay. I'm rethinking it in my head now. We got a Wardlow promo after this, which was really good. I gave that promo an 82. He does talk a lot of shit on everybody in the scramble. He's talking about Joe. He's talking about Swerve. He's talking about Hangman. Jericho comes out and gets in his face, basically saying, why are you looking past me? And then he gets the crap kicked out of him by Powerhouse Hobbs, which I am a fan of. I love Powerhouse Hobbs. Like I said, an 82 on that segment. Then we get Private Party taking on Matt Sydal and Christopher Daniels. And this has one of the best spots I've ever seen in a match, which is Private Party constantly dancing after they do moves. And then Christopher Daniels getting a receipt, doing the dance they did. And then he broke out the Curry Man dance from TNA.
Yes.
And the crowd lost their fucking minds. It was so stupid and yet so effective, and I loved every second of it. I'm like, oh my goodness. And they put it over really good on commentary, where Nigel was excited and Kevin Kelly said he'd get him a bowl later. Really good. The match is very back and a lot of back and forth, a lot of flippy doos. It's what you'd expect. I gave it a 75. And then we get Thunder Rosa taking on Cassandra Golden in another squash match that Thunder Rosa should not probably be doing. I hated this almost as bad as the last one. I gave this a 52. Nope, nobody won with this one. Nobody.
I mean, we said it last week. She doesn't need to be doing squash matches. And there is a right time and a right place for a squash match.
Absolutely.
You know. Thunder Rosa is an established character who is a former champion.
Right.
She did not lose momentum by dropping the title when she did and how she did. She doesn't need to be doing squash matches to build her back up. She could just be having regular matches and winning, and it would be way more effective.
Right. And all those points you just made, they made on commentary. So I'm like, well, why are we doing this then? I just don't get it. And then it's main event time. You got a multi-man match, where you have Hook, Orange Cassidy, Trent Beretta, and Daniel Garcia taking on Brian Cage, Roderick Strong, Christian Cage, and Killswitch, with the heel team going over. This match was really good. AEW does a lot of multi-man matches, but this combination of people really put the work in. It was hard-hitting. I enjoyed it. I gave it an 83. Anytime Christian Cage is out there, I'm a fan, for sure. And it was good build-up to all these matches that essentially are going to be taking place. So, that being said, Collision's going to get a 75.2. It was okay. I don't know. I feel like every show had a couple decent matches this week, but I don't know. It's hard to beat that Rock promo just setting the crowd on fire on SmackDown. So,
fair.
What is your show percentages for this week? Who won? Who won for you?
I believe I had... 284s and an 85, with NXT being the 85.
Nice. See, that's...
They were all very close for me.
Yeah, that's really awesome to see. Friday Night SmackDown was the winner for me, but literally by 0.2 of a point. Like, it was not a lot at all. Impact was right behind them. Impact all on the work ethic and the Ali promo, but it's hard to beat that Rock promo. It just put the SmackDown over. Do you have your top five matches for the week?
I do have my top five matches. So my top five matches for this week. Number one, New Day versus Imperium with a 92.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Kalani Jordan versus Kiana James with a 90. Number three, Sky Blue versus Chris Statlander with a 90. Number four, Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura, also with a 90. Mm-hmm. And number five, just behind those three 90s, is Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan at 89.
That feels right to me. That match was very good. For me, my top match was actually Carlito versus Santos Escobar in a street fight with an 86. Then Mike Bailey taking on Steve Macklin with an 85. The multi-man match I just mentioned from Collision ends up getting an 83, which I like just slightly better than Randy Orton versus Austin Theory, which also got an 83. And then finally, Rujido versus Claudio Castagnoli with an 82 is my fifth spot. I think it's a good mix. I like that all the shows we watch tend to have a match that gets in our top five. I like that NXT is your top this week. I noticed AEW's my bottom two shows this week, which did not happen prior. So it's very cool that we're going back and forth, and the math just doesn't lie.
It's all about that math.
It's all about that. Shoot math.
Shoot math.
Shoot math. Well, that is it. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out. And if you want to email us, you can get in touch with us at mathofthematch@gmail.com. You can send us an email. Tell us why we're right, why we're wrong. We'll be setting up all our social medias, maybe. And we'll see all of you again next week. Thank you so much.